When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year when you use code GOALS at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code GOALS. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Officially in the hour number two here of Moneyline, Donnie and Kevin, SiriusXM channel 159. Telephone lines open 844-843-6879. Quick point here in the NBA. Brian Windhorst, I believe, was on a podcast, and the quotes have been coming out here about, like, hey, you know, off season and where some of these guys are going to wind up. Where is Dame Lillard going to wind up? There's a couple outlets for him he could go to. Wants to go to the Miami Heat. We understand that. We'll get to that in a minute. But there's questions here, and I like this because I'm a Sixers fan. So I feel like I can speak on, like, what the fan base talks about and what they want. One of the things I can't quite put my finger on here is Tyrese Maxey. So we'll include the whole kit and caboodle here. Brian Windhorst on his podcast basically said, people ring the Philadelphia 76ers general manager in front off and say, hey, you know what? What's it going to take to get Tyrese Maxey out of there if we want him? And apparently the Sixers are going, nothing. And I go, what do you mean nothing? Like, well, give me like an idea. Oh, well, let's put it to you this way. If Michael Jordan 1993 version showed up on your team, we don't want him for Tyrese Maxey straight up. If a guy that's going to win us five titles and be the best player of all time, we don't want him. That's how much we want to keep Tyrese Maxey. Now, me, I always find this odd because it brings in Damian Lillard again, who wants to go to Miami, probably going to try to force his way there. It's probably a 75% chance he lands in Miami. But one of the teams that always pops up is, ooh, can the Sixers put a package deal together where he would want to come to Philadelphia and play along with Joel Embiid, see if he can win a championship here. But Sixers fans, to a loyalty to Tyrese Maxey, you see these tweets come out, Kevin, right? Windhorst, or when anybody talks Maxey, would you give up so-and-so? And like 90% of the tweets here are, no way, would never give up Maxey. I like Tyrese Maxey. But what am I missing here with where, like, you have a chance? And again, the window for the Sixers should be is Joel Embiid is not going to last forever. Nobody does. A big man cannot last as long as a guard. It happens year after year after year. Otherwise, Yao Ming would still be in the NBA at this point. Joel Embiid is playing at the highest level of his career. And people are like, no. We can't give up on Maxey because in five years, Maxey might be an all-star, but Joel Embiid is not there, and you're not winning anything surrounded by Tyrese Maxey. Just my belief. He's a good basketball player. But why is it that when, because again, looking inward as being a Sixers fan and then looking outward going like, I don't understand. Like if you told me right now, the Trailblazers pick up the phone. Hey, you know what? Let's just do an even swap. Dame for Maxey. And 90% of the Sixers fan base would tell you no.
Yeah, see, the Sixers fan base, though, I'm not super concerned about, Donnie, though. Again, Lillard for Maxey straight up, all in all, if you're Philly, if that was actually on the table, right, you'd have to do it. There's an interesting conversation to be had about age and value and future, and that stuff's all fine and good. But this is now the second report this offseason that has made the front office of Philadelphia come off like they have absolutely no idea what they're doing. They're not to be taken serious, Donnie. The Tobias Harris was the first one. I'm sorry. DRS, they just told you that if you could get Michael Jordan, pair him next to the league MVP.
Prime Michael Jordan, not 2002. Yeah,
not 2020 Michael Jordan. I might take the phone call, quite frankly. They're telling you that you could get prime MJ, pair him alongside Embiid, and they would hang up the phone. Donnie, they don't know what they're doing, Philadelphia, if this is to be believed. If Giannis came available right now, they're saying they're hanging up the phone. That's a problem, Donnie. That's a legitimate problem that it's easy to gloss over. But it's crazy what's being said right now, and it's not the first report to come out of this Philadelphia front office this offseason that makes them sound like they are absolutely clueless at the wheel.
Like, Tobias Harris is supposed to be a player that's like, hey, we're trying to get it from out from under this contract. Whatever you give us is nice. And like, no. He's an expiring contract of a player that's, you know, 13-7 every night. We need your two best players for this guy here. Now, as we talked about on the morning show, saying to ourselves, okay, well, you know, if the Sixers just hold on, they have two max slots available. But, I mean, you can look at it like that, but, boy, you can't just burn a year from the Philadelphia 76ers with Joel Embiid and say, hey, you know what, let's not do anything, limp to an average record, have Joel Embiid play 75 games and be another year older. And that's what I look forward to here and saying, like, okay, the future is there, but you're right. Like, you can move. Let's just say Harden goes, hey, you know what? I'm staying. I can't go anywhere else. And by the way, Dame's going to come in. So the backcourt would be Harden, Lillard with Joel Embiid. And be like, you know what? I can't give that up if I'm Maxey. You understand, once again, honestly, you will be lucky, us Sixers fans, to have Joel Embiid healthy for 2 years, and then all bets are off after that.
Right. No, that's the... what's happening in Philadelphia right now is, if I were a Sixers fan, I would be genuinely concerned, because this is an organization. It's almost, Donnie, like they're aware that things are falling apart in front of them and they're not handling it well. And it's like a lot of cope is going on. Like Tobias Harris, you're right. We viewed as this like negative asset. I'm like, okay, maybe you could sell it that, hey, look, like at the end of the day, it's an expiring deal. Like, it's not that bad. He's still a good player, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're calling up the Cavs, and they're like, hey, this is what we want. And the Cavs are on the phone like, I'm sorry, did you just offer us Embiid? Or did you offer us Tobias Harris? Because, by the way, the answer is no if you offered Embiid. And if you just offered us Tobias Harris, we're going to let the rest of the NBA know, don't call the Sixers. They're not a serious organization.
Playing the waiting game in the NBA, particularly with the Portland Trailblazers and Damian Lillard. How long are we going to wait for a deal to happen to move him out of Portland? Come on back with us. It's Moneyline, talking NBA action.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A lot of topics here to go over on Moneyline. Get your phone calls in, too. You got any hot topics yourself? 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. I am going to go over a Major League Baseball All-Star Game topic in just a moment. But before we do that, we were focused on the Portland Trailblazers and Damian Lillard. And it seems like a simple question here, Kevin. How long are we waiting on this? Is there a Woj bomb coming on the 4th of July, the July 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th? Or are we waiting generally as we get closer to the regular season?
I would imagine that this gets done. I think Portland is dealing with a very difficult reality that they've been backed into a corner. and they know that the only real outcome here is Dame going to Miami, you know, which is tough. I got to say, because I don't think there has been much offered up in terms of the other side. Look, I think Portland has done everything wrong. I can't stress that enough. everything that they've done is wrong. They don't deserve the benefit of the doubt in much spots, Donnie. But, you know, Lillard has 3 years plus a player option left on his deal. That doesn't necessarily scream the world's most loyal player. Like, it's not like Dame wasn't aware what was what when he signed that extension essentially a day ago when you look at how much time is left on that deal. I understand why Dame is asking out. But Dame is now essentially cashing in all of these loyalty points he's earned and putting that organization in a horrendous, horrendous position by saying, listen, I just want to go somewhere to win. Okay, that's fine, Dame. We can make that work. Dame's saying, no, I need to go to Miami. Like, we're treating this like it's free agency. That's a disaster.
You know what's interesting about Portland? Look, other NBA teams, Kevin, certainly have made bad signings over the years with their money. But Portland, to me, sticks out like a sore thumb. And again, doing it this year with Jeremy Grant. The amount of money that they have spent on basically like their own guys to re-up them always got a laugh out of me. Because maybe it's just me. And maybe it's Portland where they go, hey, we're Portland. Nobody wants to come here. We got to overpay our own guys just to stay here. And maybe that's a part of it, where it's not a destination and you can't just be a free agent player at this point. But you want to talk about like bang for your buck getting back the ROI, because you know the joke I always play. It's like, okay, owner just comes in for a day. Hey, how are we looking next year? Great, man. We have the highest paid player in the NBA. That's awesome. And so what are we looking to do? Well, we probably won't like the playoffs, but we're going to pay a guy like $60 million. Get out, you're fired. I never understand what Portland's up to. And did anybody, because Kevin, when you take a look at the court of public opinion, the Jeremy Grant contract comes out. What was the ratio of, oh, man, awesome. Back in Portland, he's going to kill it. Or, what a waste of money. How did he make that much? It's crazy how the fans of your team and the NBA will tell you immediately what that trade is about and also what that re-up is about. We looked at that going like, what's Portland doing? That's fantastic.
But apparently, I've seen that there's apparently backdoor chatter, DRS, that the Blazers are now frustrated that they gave that contract out since Damian Lillard has requested the trade, which, I'm sorry, what world are you operating in? I don't know, like, what is going on here? Like, or, do you not read? Everybody knew he was going to ask out. You've had 700 meetings with the guy about how unhappy he is with the way you're handling business. Like, it's completely ridiculous the way Portland operates there. And that's why I really don't feel bad for them. But, man, it is incredible to watch how easy it has been for Lillard to win this PR battle when he's – listen, again, loyalty is not necessarily best represented when you have 4 years left on a contract and are saying, yeah, I got to get out of here, man.
Yeah, it's nuts. And again, some of that good vibes and goodwill really being eaten up by Dame. And as I pointed out to you as we were talking behind the scenes, you know, Dame on Twitter, like hitting one of those, like, hey, I'm going to surf around. Maybe wasn't at his rate limit yet. And somebody was, you know, I guess it would be a quote tweet from him where he was reading, basically said, you know, hey, Dame, man, it's all fine. Now you ask for it's something to this notion. It's convenient you're asking out and not going to, like, the Orlando Magic, right? But you want to go to the team that just made the NBA Finals. And he's basically, you know, missed me with that and all that stuff. And he's catching a lot of shrapnel because I always look back at this. Damian Lillard universally, Kevin, let's just say over the past 5 years. Take out, like, the last year, but go back five. Everybody loves Dame. Dame time. Little guy, little engine that could. Takes over a game at the end of it. Boy, Dame, it would be nice to see you making deep playoff runs year after year for a good organization. And he always played that toll. It's like, hey, man, did we forget about the grind here? It's not all about championships. And then saying, okay, I want out and send me to a championship contender. Which, again, you're supposed to want to. Has anybody ever said, like, hey, you know what? I'm with a great company. I'm getting paid a lot of money. Trade me out here, or I'm going to transfer my contract over to a horrendous business and see if I can turn that around. Like, no, we always want to go to that ready-made thing. It's like, hey, man, that's going to be an easy transition. But I do like the shrapnel coming over to Dame. Like, how much money do you make? You always said, like, hey, man, I can't even believe KD and LeBron do all this stuff. I'm about staying in Portland. Oh, you know what? Trade me, and I only want to go to this destination, which just made the NBA Finals.
Where Donnie Dame ends up getting, again, the benefit of the doubt. Let's try and think of a good example here, DRS. Who's a good example of a team that if they got the third pick, right? The answer is probably the Lakers, right? If the Lakers got the third pick, LeBron's like, you know you have to trade that, right?
Yes, correct. Correct,
like,
yes.
Like everybody here understands
that. Like, ooh, we got the three pick. Yeah, that's going to be an all-star. Make that move.
Yeah. And the thing is, Donnie, they probably would trade it because the Lakers are serious about winning. The Blazers drafted Dame's replacement. Like, and that's what I'm talking about here. Dame is opting out early on a deal. Dame is putting Portland in a tough spot. But they have nobody to blame but themselves. Donnie, they absolutely, not a doubt in my mind, could have gotten Paul George for that third pick. PG's on the block. He's got a one-year deal plus an opt-out. Like, I think that ultimately the Clippers would have had to add to that trade. And if I would have told you that Paul George showed up in Portland, they never would have given the awful contract to Grant. You'd have been like, listen, I don't know if they're going to win a title in Portland, but that's a playoff team now. Now I've got two legitimate all-stars. Mm-hmm. And every indication is that's all Lillard wanted, Donnie. Dame is not. See, because this is, again, where, like, I'm running from the grind. But Lillard's ask in Portland wasn't, listen, unless you get me seven all-stars, I refuse to be here. Kevin Durant only plays next to three other all-stars at a time. It's quite frankly embarrassing. It's been the case his entire career. Lillard just wanted Draymond Green. That's all Dame wanted. That's all Damian Lillard was asking.
His big three.
That's
the new big three.
it's a crazy thing to watch, Donnie, and that's why, you know, Lillard is easily winning this PR battle because it's pretty clear to see all of the ways mistakes were made by the Blazers during this process.
But if, let's just say, Dame wants out and he does get traded now, and if you're saying Portland's like, oh, that really blindsided us, which has to be the worst bit of reporting because we were joking just not, what, a week and a half ago? Hey, by the way, Dame in the front office is going to sit down. They don't ever speak. It's like, oh, hold on now. So now apparently maybe that report was actually true. Like, look, Dame wants to leave. Like, yeah, haven't you been following the tea leaves here on what's going down? Like, boy, we thought if we drafted a nice young guard to play right next to him in a similar position, he would love that. Of course you didn't. You drafted him knowing that this was probably going to push him out the door. Now, getting there, no Dame on Portland next year. And without getting back Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, you're probably not going to be a good basketball team if you make that move and trade him to Miami. But having said that, are we in for a long waiting game? Hey, Dame, you're not going to Miami. You better open up some more avenues here, or else you are just going to sit right next to us, and we'll put you on the commissioner's exempt list because you don't want to play for us, and we're not going to pay you then. Is this going to be long and drug out, or is this going to be one of those things where we get it to happen quicker, or we get it in the regular, like a Ben Simmons-type deal for the Sixers?
I do think that if I'm Portland, because NBA like salary cap stuff, and unless there's like a reason they need to get the deal done a little bit quicker, Donnie, I like the idea of sitting there and just seeing if Dame will add any other teams to the list. Because right now you're looking at Brooklyn and you're looking at Miami apparently on this list, but really only Miami. Can I get two or three other teams on that list by chance?
NBA action heating up. Also, week zero in college football. That's coming up soon. Next, let's talk about it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
California love. Love all over the place. We're a worldwide show right here, baby. SiriusXM Channel 159, Stani and Kevin. It's Moneyline. Get your calls in. 844-843-6879. I want to play this little game. Maybe Kevin has it queued up here. But he knows that, look, as I get up in my age, right? To me, back in the day, and I say back in the day, let's just say my 20s and, I don't know, probably early half of the 30s. Sports for me is 7 days a week and always has been. Wasn't married, didn't have a kid, and that's all I wanted to do was, okay, Saturday, huge Miami Hurricanes fan. What time they play? Oh, 3:30 against Virginia? All right, cool. Definitely in on that. But it starts at noon. You know, whatever you get, some Jack Daniels and a pizza. Do you want to kick some Xbox in the morning? Whatever. But you're in for the long haul. And then you do it again on Sunday. Now, sometimes you have to play things out and you can't pay attention to everything as much as you want to. I love college football. I still watch big games, SEC game, yes. But I can't be all in across the board. But one of the things that gets me upset, Kevin, is when you expect, like, the NFL does it right. Opening weekend is a banger regardless because, yes, every team is going to play, Kevin, but they also have we're going to bring in the world champions on a Thursday and give you a compelling game, and that's going to kick off the weekend. I love it. I can't get enough. But when I see week zero and people go, hey, man, Hawaii, Colorado State, awesome, I'm out on it. So you are telling me, and again, I didn't look yet, week zero does it have some bangers this year.
Well, okay, so it's still week zero, but okay. I think it is stuff. I put it to you like this, Donnie. There's a chance you bet week zero.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So the first item is Notre Dame against Navy. Now, okay. I'm totally prepared for you to slander that, but those are two legitimate programs. It's a bigger spread. Notre Dame's supposed to have a really good season. The Sam Hartman debut. But am I correct that that's a game you could see yourself being interested in actually getting involved with?
Now, are we going to Dublin for this one?
Yes, we are. Because they were supposed to go, and then the pandemic ended up, like, canceling it. So it's been kind of on the schedule for a long time, DRS.
Yeah, because you want the bigger names and teams. All right, so we got that. It's Notre Dame. It's Navy. And I don't even know if Navy's coming back, but certainly Navy got rid of their head coach, right? Neil Matulolo's gone now. Is that correct? And this will be the first year?
Yes, I
believe so. All right, so what is it, 24 and a half? What could it be?
20 is the
Oh, it's close. Okay. All right. So we got 20. Not too bad.
Under 3
not too bad.
Which but
I think Tommy, I don't think that's a party, though, for Sam Hartman. Because the one thing you do know, man, you air it out and spread it out. Against Navy, you got a legitimate quarterback. You can burn up some numbers out there.
They have no idea what's going on. They're like, this is
what's that?
They're watching
against
the football Navy.
Yes.
I don't understand.
Correct.
Like, this is which.
And how many times in the past, like, you watch those games, like, hey, look, you have two burners on the outside. Like, why ever run the football against Navy? Like, you should just out-athlete them. In that, like, it's a true 7-on-7, which is what you do. All right, so we got that there. How many games do we actually have in week zero this year?
Hold on, I have it right here. 7 week zero games.
Okay.
So
now, as week zero, like, are we all Saturdayed up, or are we going to do one of these, like, hey, Thursday, Friday, two Saturday, Sunday night, all that stuff? All Saturday?
Yeah.
Or what is it?
All Saturday, because they save the, like, random days of the week for their actual, you know, week one, which is the right decision there.
Like the Labor Day night game, Sunday night game, all that stuff, right?
Exactly.
All right. So we got 7 total games. That's game number one. Give me another game on there for week zero.
Okay. Now the second best game on the slate, I would second most captivating game. If I told you it involves San Jose State, would you be like, you know what? Get out of here.
Yes,
this can't be.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here is who's on the other side of the field, though, Donnie. Caleb Williams and USC.
Okay. So we are starting the Heisman campaign week number one. And if anybody knows how a Heisman campaign is supposed to start, that your boy out in SC who coaches them knows how to build a Heisman contender and a champion. That's 375 minimum in the air. That's 55 minimum on the ground. Three touchdowns passing and at least one touchdown on the ground.
Correct.
So whether or not you think it's going to be a compelling game or stay within a number, that is when the national media starts to run wild and we go full blast. Everybody's tanking in the NFL to get this guy next year. So if I'm looking at an honest line, again, I don't know where USC's talent level is, basically outside of their quarterback, who is the best in the country. We got to be looking at a 31.5.
30 is the number right
now. Wow!
So.
Then, again, I'm not cheating either. Like,
I know you.
Yeah, that's good. I'm surprised. Yeah. Okay, I'm locked in a little bit here on some of those. So close to that. But that's how you're right. You say, like, oh, San Jose State, stop. But that's a video game. For Caleb Williams in that one. I expect him to, like, the lead on SportsCenter, get ready, NFL, here he comes.
Like, I know that how you feel about week zero, but I also know how you feel about a principal play. And we will open that Monday show with you being like, listen, you just better give me enough time to yell at Lincoln Riley, because how did he not let Caleb Williams throw the four touchdowns that I needed to hit my prop?
Yes,
because,
correct.
Or, like, Donnie, I tell you right now, that over-under passing touchdown props, 2.5, I mean, you're betting week zero college football. Let's be honest.
Yes,
here, right?
That's like first half number. Like, he should, correct. He might throw three in the first half, and that's not even, oh, you're so stupid. You ever watch a football game where it's clear one team is running the other one over with a dominant quarterback? There's no limit. That's like the first, like, let's just say, and it's probably not out yet, like the first half total is probably going to be like 38.5, because it should be 35-3 right on that number at the break. That's what I'm looking at.
The game total is 63.5. USC's team total for the game is going to be around like a 45.5.
Yes, correct.
So
that's an over bet right off the bat. Like, if you watch that game, like, hey, by the way, Caleb, they're only up 10-0 at the half. All panic in the streets. Like, correct. There's panic in the streets, but I don't think it's ever going to come down to that. All right, give me another game here. What else we got?
So the third best game is probably San Diego State against the Ohio Bobcats there.
Oh, okay.
That's not bad.
Now, where are we playing this at? Where are we playing this at?
Let's see. This is going to be a home game for San Diego State.
Interesting one. Now, you said three on that, so obviously it's not 30. Yeah. So what is it, three? No, it's a field? Is that it?
It's 3.5.
Wow. Now, that's two things that shows me. If that is on the road at San Diego State for a MAC team and they're only getting three, because typically, you know, the pedigree isn't like, okay, San Diego State's going to win national championship, but usually on the upper echelon out there in, like, the Mountain West,
sure.
That's an interesting one. That shows Ohio's bringing back some heat this year. I don't know who I would go with or who I would bet, but that is good. That's not a 16.5. That should actually be a good football game to watch.
Right. In terms of, like, competitiveness, it's arguably the best game on the slate. The next game that I think will have people talking, now, see, this is for all the wrong reasons, is probably UMass against New Mexico State. Because it's just two of the absolute worst programs in college football getting after it there on a week zero.
Now, the crazy part about this, if that was like 4 or 5 years ago, that game would be like a 71.5, 72.5 total, because UMass would play no defense, air it out on offense, and every single possession would be a touchdown one way or another. I don't even know, like, where is that game at? Is it out in New Mexico?
Let's
or UMass at Amherst.
They're not playing at Jerry World. It's going to be at New Mexico State.
Yeah, my goodness. I mean, the over-under on people there, probably more than the actual game itself. Yeah, I won't know. I'm not so sure I'm tuning in to that one at that point. So
it's an 8.5-point line total, a low 43.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, how my times have changed. Two teams that usually just get after it just look like they're not getting after it at all. Would they go to the triple option for UMass? Goodness. That Mark Whipple offense used to put up 50 and then give up 60 on the opposite end. Good stuff on that one there.
I'll give you just the rest of the games. Jacksonville State, UTEP. Jacksonville State's a 2-point favorite.
Oh, my goodness.
Hawaii, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's
always
18.5 point favorite.
We have Vandy this year? Where is that one?
Yeah, that's the problem with that game. That's the big problem with that game. They're at Vanderbilt. I don't need Hawaii on the week zero slate not starting their game at 11 p.m. midnight. That's the whole point of Hawaii football, not 7:30. Come on now.
Correct. So and also, you would get the people tuning in, hey, it's a game in Hawaii. Just the optics of it are nice. Like, okay, it's in Hawaii. A game at Vanderbilt. It's like, what are we expecting? Like, this is Vanderbilt's launch into the next
next
10 years. Like, hey, we're a player now. Like, Vanderbilt wins game one. Like, hey, watch out for Vandy.
He came out. There's a clip they like to play where he said, listen, eventually we are going to be the best team in college football. It's like,
now, is that the guy that was when they were up 3-0 at Alabama or something? Did I see that one?
Well,
is that like the player on the sideline talking about it? Who was saying this? I saw something on there.
No, it was like a press conference. I mean,
oh, no, I actually saw a player on one today come through from Vandy. Saying that they're here to stay. Yeah, I think they had made a 3-0 lead on Alabama or something like that. It was a pretty good one.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I like stuff like that.
Now, what's the other games? No more games left?
The last game is Louisiana Tech against FIU. That's the late game.
Yeah, not bad. Okay. I could deal with that, too. You got Sun Belt action down there?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that Conference USA? Who is that?
I think it's a combination, right?
Yeah. Is it? Are they both?
Because like
so many teams have moved now. I don't know if they moved to a new conference or something like that, but I don't mind that. It's not terrible. So what's it? It's six total games or seven, did you say?
Seven total games.
all on Saturday. And then when is the next, like, when's week one technically game. Start?
Yeah.
Like a Thursday night or something?
Thursday. There's actually like a bunch of Thursday games. And the best game, probably Utah, Florida on that Thursday, I would say.
Mm. And then, what are we bringing the heat on that one for? What's the line on that one?
9 points for Utah at home. So that's not bad. Friday slate, pretty tough.
Wait, Utah getting 9 at home?
No. Fake.
Wow. Oh, Gator Nation. Tough scene, man. Tough scene, Gator Nation, out here. Phone calls coming up next here. Got a couple people waiting online. We'll definitely get to them. But just letting it rip here on Moneyline today. A lot of good topics, a lot of hot topics. Make sure you come back with us. Sonny Kevin, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Phone lines are open. It's Moneyline, Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159, 844-843-6879. Let's get there. Jordan from Phoenix checking in with Donnie and Kevin here on Moneyline. What's up, Jordan?
What's going on, fellas? I just wanted to throw a couple things out that Kyrie situation, how I talked to you guys on Friday saying he was going to meet with the Suns. I think that was a leverage play. So I heard from a reporter out here who's a pretty well-respected guy out here in Phoenix. He said that was all a front. Kyrie wasn't even having a meeting with the Suns. So I kind of was laughing after I talked to you guys, you know, like, oh, my gosh. So and then what about Dame? You guys think I know you guys are Donnie. I know you're a Philly fan, but why would he not consider go to Philadelphia to go play with Joel Embiid?
I guess he would probably look at it by saying, again, we have to be honest with ourselves. Do you want to play in Philadelphia? Yeah, the crowd is great, and it's a vibrant area. But, boy, if you have a perfect scenario, like a team that just made the Final Four, recruiting you and comes down and says, hey, man, just take a visit down. It's South Beach. Kevin, how do you pass that up? You get a good basketball team, a very good coach, an organization that knows how to get things done and wants you, and you say to yourself, hey, you know what? I might want to go to Philly, which he might, but boy, it's hard to pass up.
It's actually a really good point. Like, maybe the reason that it's just this Miami or bust feeling from him right now is he's been recruited heavily by the Heat guys, and he's now obsessed with that idea, right? And I think that's relatable for people, you know where you talk about you get kind of promised all these great things, and it's hard to wrap your mind around it because everything else would sound disappointing. It's like, I would have thought Philly would have been great, but I've been talking to Jimmy and Bam nonstop, and it's just I'm locked in, man. Like, we're going to do this thing down here in Miami. It's the place for me.
Jordan, by the way, is the Valley being rallied right now? Is that happening?
The Valley is being rallied, man. I hear we're going to keep DA. You see all those signings with Eric Gordon and everything. They made some big moves on coming on the bench. You were talking about the last week, Donnie, I think, of pronouncing people's names. That's why I don't even want to pronounce their names, you know, because I don't even know how to say it. So, but you guys, I appreciate you taking my phone call. I hope you guys have a great 4th of July. You know the drill. Best show on the grid. Awesome. I'll talk to you guys when you're back from a little vacay. Have a good day, man.
Fantastic, Jordan. By the way, JP, you're behind the scenes here. Can you hit me off with a Webinyama real quick here? You got that? Can you pull that? All right, we'll wait on that here. But you know what? We're going to keep it up. 844-843-6879. Heading
Victor
to the hotline. Victor Wembanyama on the headline, or otherwise known as Moose. Moose, get in here and talk to us. It's Donnie Kevin right here on Moneyline.
Victor Wembanyama. You bet.
There you go. Better great pronunciation right there. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, done in Polish as well. So got a little food tip. But hey, K-Dub,
yes,
I want to get your take on Max Strus going to the Cavs. So I thought that was I'm glad they kept that nucleus together. I really am. They got a great young team.
They do.
I'm excited about that. You know, I think Strus will really help him out.
Staying forever, but be excited about Cleveland.
Yes, and you guys are talking about football. I'm excited to see the Mac coming into play. And the Mount Union Purple Raiders coming into play.
There you go.
See if they can fire things back up. And Youngstown State and DRS, I have a little hot dog brick
for
the 4th of July for your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know how you throw the dogs on the grill and they kind of explode and they get black and they just kind of, split open? Well, this is what you want to do. You want to make razor-thin slices, just maybe about three or four across your dog. Don't do them deep, just enough to break the skin. And that prevents your dogs from exploding and bubbling, and it makes her the perfect dog. Now, if you want to do brats, do the body flame-thin. So get yourself a Dutch oven, a couple cans of beer, cut an onion in half, a stick of butter, melt that butter in your Dutch oven or the big Dutch pot, heavy cast pot. Put your onion in there, put the brats in there, cover the brats just with enough beer, bring it to a boil, cook them, then you put them on the grill. You brown them up, you put them on the grill, you cook them through, then you can transfer them back to your pot to keep them warm for the family and friends to coming over. And that's how you do it. And then just to spice things up a little bit, slice your buns in half, make a little bit of garlic butter, brown those buns on the grill, throw them up with some fresh onions and maybe some sautéed bell peppers. Don't use green. Go with the sweets, yellow, the red. And there you go. You got a meal for the 4th of July. And watch that big red machine playing in the nation's capital. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you guys enjoy your 4th. And shout out to all you guys. I enjoy you guys. Take care.
There we go. Moose checking in here. And by the way, Reds, Nats, runs, runs, runs. That's what we're cheering on here. That's what we're probably going to be betting here in that series. But also, very nice there. By the way, chokables, Kevin. Always a big deal in my house. You know, having a younger kid where over the years my mother-in-law, nobody could eat a hot dog unless it was sliced in the middle because apparently you can choke on it if it's not sliced. How about that? Anything go down in your house like that? Make sure you slice the hot dog, or you can't. The kid can't eat a hot dog unless it's sliced.
I once saw, you know how like sometimes when you get a fresh slice, and the cheese can kind of, you know what I mean, really extends and long.
Don't put that much in your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah. I once saw it kind of almost like wrap around the guy that's in the back of the throat there of somebody at the house and was choking, and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But eventually, you know, I mean, obviously it ended up all working out. But when you're young, you're seeing that, you're like, well, I mean, I guess this is it. This guy's just gonna. You know,
exactly. Like, and how could that happen too? Like, they like we take a look at Kevin. Like, hey, there's no way. Like, the food won't defeat you, right? You defeat
certainly
the food.
Not. Absolutely.
That's the way it goes down.
So.
Is that an embarrassment? Like choking in the Walsh household, kind of embarrassing. Like, you know what? Food just got the wrong windpipe here. No excuses. No excuses.
You know, let me tell you something about that though. Like, there have been times where like we go. There's this diner by me, DRS. Right.
Okay. Name it.
No. You already know where that house is, anyway, so it's fine. So actually, I can say the name then. It's called Good Eats. And the portions are, I mean, it's just ridiculous, right?
That's good,
but for us,
that's classic, yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're looking for. Now, those two animals, more often than not, always finish their food. And I just got to a point where I just couldn't really hack it anymore. Like, it was pretty tough to make it all disappear. A lot of slander came my way. Like treat me like I'm less than because I couldn't finish my Good Eats. It was pretty defeating.
Wow. Like, also, is the brigade like fast eaters as well? Or we savor it? Because I am a speed eater. Not because I'm trying to be funny or fast. It's just the way I eat. Like, when I'm hungry, I got a nice steak in front of me. Like, Saturday night, went out on the town, went to Atlantic City, had me a nice filet. I'm putting that thing down like there's no tomorrow. I'm not doing it because, hey, I got to hurry up and get back to the tables. Like, no. I don't enjoy my food as a slow burn. I will generally, like, if we're out to dinner, who cares who I'm with? There's a really good odds to, 2-1 or less that I'm first every time through my food, regardless. And not because I think it's fun. Like, watch me just put this down quick. Like, I'm a big eater, but I'm a fast eater as well.
Yeah, no, we all eat pretty quick, I would say. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. It just comes and it goes. That's the story there.
All right, comes and it goes here. You know, the summer league don't last too long, Kevin. We're talking about like a week or 10 days, and the summer league is gone. I believe the first round of summer league is under a week, if I didn't see that correctly, or maybe a week long. Well, I think Vegas? Under 2 weeks, like 10 days maybe?
Yeah.
Yes, like they're real quick in and outs here. But it's still fun to see NBA on the screen, even though we just got done. And like sort of talking about this morning, closing out the show and listen up, like the NBA is sort of taking that, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like NFL approach. Like, yeah, you just got done the season. There's no decompression time. We fired up with free agency. Right behind it is summer league. And before you can blink, we're in the September and we're talking about training camps opening up.
Yeah. Now I'm going to be defensive unnecessarily over this, but this has always been the NBA's approach. And I think the NFL sometimes, now the NFL doesn't need help to get people talking about it, but I think the NFL almost had to look over there a little bit, be like, man, the way the NBA dominates. Because I said,
but the summer league is growing, though. It really is growing to a legitimate. Now, granted, they might take a step back because it's not like, hey, by the way, watch Wembanyama play six games and, you know, get your fill and all these good young players. You look at the rosters for the summer league, it's like, ooh. And also the top end of it, they don't appear for five straight games to try to win a summer league, specifically if you're a top 10 player.
No, I hear you on that. But the NBA summer league, I mean, if you're excited about it, again, that's like a credit to
their odds to win
it. They, for Vegas only. They will post a futures market for Vegas. That will happen. I hope they book the Spurs as the favorites, but they won't.
Now, here's the funny thing about it, right? We see the rookie of the year market in the NBA. And again, I watch summer league just because, you know, it's basketball in the summer. It's a hot topic. Did you see that good young player play? But I got a feeling. Like Wembanyama comes up, right? 4 of 6 from the floor, plays 3 minutes, minus 160 goes to minus 260. Like, oh, yeah, this guy's the real deal. Like, you watch him play one game against guys that aren't really NBA talent, and like, he's the real deal.
Now, I want people to understand, just by chance, if you heard what Donnie said, be like, that's an exaggeration. They'd never move the odds based on summer league. Last year, they were flipping the favorite around. Not just, like, moving bright. Like, they were flipping the favorite between Chet and Paolo based on them dominating summer league games. So, yes, the summer league will matter in terms of the pricing 100%.
Yeah, so it should be interesting to see that play out. And then what is there 3 summer leagues or 2?
Yeah, that's
how many are there?
Part, though, I think they're like, I'm open to slander on. Like, I don't know why we need to do, like, Utah and then the Cali Classic, and it's just like nobody's actually, like, playing. It's a little weird, Donnie, well, that there's 3 separate summer leagues. It's like they agreed to it many years ago, and they just, like, can't get out of the contract there. Because, people travel to the Vegas one. It's a big deal. But, which is why it's a little interesting. Like, Brandon Miller is going to play, you know, plays in the debut game. Wembanyama's like, well, I don't debut unless I'm in Vegas, man. That's just the story.
And that's the NBA. I remember giving their blessing to play in another summer league in the NBA. I was like, hold on now. We got to wait for Las Vegas to have it happening. Now, the one thing you do know is LeBron's going to come in and either a new pair of kicks or a new pair of shorts that's going to set the internet on fire like the Lakers drawers did about a few years ago. Like, oh, my goodness, we got to get those immediately. I'm actually surprised that the Lakers didn't play a game with those shorts on. I really am.
I mean, I agree. What was going on there that, like, LeBron was at summer league, like, every day? Why was he just spending that much time in Vegas? Now
hanging out in Vegas,
right?
Man. It's a great place. Like,
am I supposed to expect LeBron in Vegas?
By the way,
I bring this up here quickly? Because I understand why people aren't talking about this. But, you know, remember when the season ended, they're like, you know, LeBron's going to need foot surgery?
Yes.
Do you know 100% has not had foot surgery yet? LeBron James. Mm-hmm. He's doing the little Shaq thing, like, I'm going to enjoy my summer, and I'm telling you, he is not starting this season healthy. He's got USC games to go watch, DRS. He's going to go out there and let everybody else figure it out. I really do not
so
expect
good.
LeBron James to be available for at least the first month of the NBA season.
It is by far one of my favorite things about the NBA, which shouldn't be a favorite at all. The fact that if you're a superstar, knowing you need surgery, and you can tell your franchise, hey, you know what? I got 3 vacations. I got things to do. I'm going to get that surgery late September. Hold on, you're going to miss the first 3 weeks. Doesn't matter. Let me have my summer. And like, okay, sounds like a good plan here. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline Radio on the Grill.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network.
Can't be thin-skinned. You can't be thin-skinned out here, people. That's word for, that's food for thought at this point. But by the way, Elon Musk, look, holiday weeks, football season's coming up. We're going to figure this out together. He wants to give me a call. We'll figure it out. TweetDeck, pay. We'll make people pay for stuff. It's no big deal. By the way, talking about paying for stuff, you know I like to pay for stuff. There's a website, Kevin, I pay $60 a month to use, and I can use it for free, but I appreciate the content on there. Just got hit up, I think, $60 for the year from Fangraphs on Saturday. It's like an auto-renewal, I think, over the summer. Love it. It's a free site, but I like to pay because I think it's really effective, and I like to approach things that way. I pay for Twitter right now, $8 a month. You're going to be limiting me on stuff? I'm not paying for that. Like you, I like to show my support for people that do good things that help me out in my everyday life, even though there's free versions. Like right now, Twitter, paying for it or not, you're not paying for anything at this point. You're not gaining thousands of followers because you paid for Twitter. But I pay for it because it helps me my day-to-day. But if you're going to limit me and ruin TweetDeck, I'm not paying for that. Like, I like to tip. I over-tip generously. And I consider, like, hey, you know what? I'll throw a couple bucks a month or a couple bucks a year, $60 a month to a certain place if I think it's worth it. But come on, Twitter, man. I can't pay for this. I can't.
Here's the final thing I'll say on this is everyone tweets, oh, this app is done. Here, follow me on B-Sky Social, okay?
Yes.
First of all, the fact that apparently you didn't invite to join over there, I mean, that just sounds nonsensical.
The who? What? What is it?
I don't know. People have been tweeting out the thing. But apparently that the alternative, Donnie, to everything like for Twitter is just, well, we created Twitter, but like Elon doesn't run it. There's nothing wrong with Twitter if Buddy would just leave it alone. Like, it didn't need any updates. Like, imagine if somebody came in and bought the Dallas Cowboys and they're like, hey, just so you know, we only allow half the people in the building and we also don't have a quarterback on our roster right now. They're like, what? But that's what Elon did.
Now, how can they follow you, Kev, on True Social? You got a True Social account? Like, where are we going to here out here in these streets? Who knows? But thanks for tuning in. Moneyline, behind the wheels of Steels, JP, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin. We'll see you soon. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.